Continuing on this week in a series taking us through the book of Jude, we've been looking at the start of a new year and what happens when we're starting a new year. Sometimes we come up with a resolution. Sometimes we take a look back at the previous year. We take stock of our lives. And so it seems like a fitting place to finish my time here with what's my resolution. Now, we're going to go more in depth in some of these things next month, but Doug is preaching next week, and then Jason the following week. So what is my resolution? What is Jude saying? Hey, Jude, you know, what is your resolution? What are you trying to tell us in this time? Last week, we talked about how the solution that Jude is getting us is not some religion on the surface, a facade of what we put up. It's not a list of do's and don'ts, but it's about life in Christ, life lived in Christ. So what does Jude's resolution look like? How is he directing us? We're going to be, again, in the book of Jude. It's at the very end of your Bible, verses 20 and 21. And let's just pray. Father, by your Holy Spirit, by the promise of your word, you give us truth. You lead us into all truth. You remind us of everything that Jesus has said. As Doug said this morning, we have this advocate. We have this comforter with us. And Father, we pray that you would meet us in this time to transform us by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So starting in verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Very short section of scripture, but there's a lot here. There's actually four different resolutions that were being given here. Build yourself up in your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, and wait for the mercy of Jesus Christ leading to eternal life. Now, wait a second, because last week you said it wasn't a list of do's and don'ts. It wasn't some thing that we had to do. And the same is still true of that, of the journey that we have in faith. She's right here. No problem. Come on in. So, it's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's not something that we're trying to do to earn favor with God. We need to hold on to that. So then why at the end of Jude's letter does he give us this thing? He says four things that we need to do. Oh, there it is. You sneak these things in under the surface. You tell me it's not about works, and then you give me work to do. What kind of sense does that make? Well, it's the same truth throughout Scripture. We do not serve. We do not love God. We do not pursue God. We do not pray. We do not keep ourselves in the love of God. We don't wait for the mercy of Jesus Christ to us, leading to eternal life, because we want to earn God's forgiveness, because we want to earn a place with God. That's not why we do these things. That is, in a sense, working for salvation. This is something that every other religion on the face of this earth is about, doing things to find favor with God. And if we're careful, because that's almost our hardwiring of our sin nature to think in those terms, we can do it too. But all of Scripture points us to these things, not in order to earn salvation, but because of our salvation, because of the rich love that God has for us, because of the great hope that we have in Christ. We work out of those things. We walk out of that knowledge of who we are. So what's my resolution? I'm going to give the answer to you right now. What's my resolution? What should our resolution be if we are in Christ? It should be to persevere because we're loved. Not persevere because you want God to give you a gold star at the end of your journey. Persevere because you are loved. You are enveloped in Christ, Christian. Do you understand that? You are enveloped. You are clothed with Christ. This is the picture of Scripture. So does perseverance really matter if we are loved by God? You know, it makes me think of my kids, and especially after yesterday. No, you're going ahead of time. Don't assume you know what I'm talking about. Now, I love my kids. What if I said, well, I love my kids, so I don't need to tell them all the time. They know it. They know I love them. How would that work? How would that work with your spouse? Well, if you love someone, you show it. If you love someone, there's nothing that would keep you from blessing them just because you want to see the smile on their face. You want to see that love that you have for them reflected back at you. You love, you love, you love in action. Not just in word or in deed. Yesterday was a difficult day for me. And it wasn't because Rebecca is in Florida and I've got the kids for about 5 days. I love that. I love being with the kids. It was difficult because I was wrestling with God. I was wrestling because things weren't clicking. How do I share this perseverance? How do I share what perseverance looks like when I'm in the midst of a struggle? You know, when you're struggling with your kids, how do you share, well, I still love them, I just don't want to be around them right now. How do you share that without bruising their fragile little egos? You know, you don't want to do that. So there's this war within yourself. How do you struggle and wrestle through these things? And so I was wrestling with God. And I don't know if this is the way it is with you in your spiritual walk, but in my spiritual walk, when I'm suffering because of something else or someone else, I have a tendency to push that onto God. I have a tendency to be like, I'm suffering right here. And I throw myself a pity party and I whine. And right now, so you know, I have a picture in my head of my kids crying. And I'm like, stop it, stop it. You know, they're asking for something and I'm giving them that, but also more, right? Because I love them. So I'm blessing them with even more than they can. But they don't see that. They just see that I said no to something that they want. It's like there have been numerous theologians over the years who have said we are too easily pacified in our Christian walk. We are fine making mud pies in the dirt when God has promised us a seaside banquet. We're fine with junk when He has abundance for us. Well, it's the same thing with my kids. And so my son, he will cry and cry and cry. And I'm like, buddy, do you see what I'm doing? Oftentimes he doesn't because he's crying and he's looking down and it hurts him. And it's the same way with my daughter when she throws a fit. Jace wasn't like this, but she will throw herself down on the floor. prone. Sometimes the arms are out, sometimes they're like this, sometimes they're like this. But she's down on the ground, planking on the ground. And I'm sitting there. I'm sitting. Baby girl, are you ready? Come here. I'm right here. I love you. I want to hold you. And sometimes it takes her a minute to stop the striving, stop the fit. And she'll crawl over to me and put her head on my lap. And I melt. Guys, I melt. And God gives me this picture. Is that what it's like for God? I'm not equating myself with God, just so you know. Okay? But in those moments, God gives me a picture. Man, if this is just an ounce, just an inkling of the kind of love and presence that God has for us, that He is with us at all times, and He is by our side, and He is waiting. And then this is me. And I don't look up, and I don't go to Him in the midst of my struggle. If that's what it's like, man, drives me running to my Father who loves me. He loves me. We are called beloved 4 times in this short letter of 25 verses. It should drive us to the heart of God. It should drive us to worship this God. Okay, but I didn't forget, David. You said it's not about works, it's about love, blah, blah. He gives us 4 things to do. Perseverance. What is that about? Well, Scripture tells us repeatedly, everywhere actually, to persevere. It's not just in the book of Jude, it's everywhere. I'll just give you 3 examples. One is from Jesus. He's probably a good place to start. And if He says it, and it's confirmed elsewhere, might be worth listening to. Mark 13:13, He tells us the one who endures will be saved. He tells us to endure. 1 Timothy 6:12 tells us to fight the good fight and take hold of eternal life. Ephesians 6:18. 6 is the famed chapter where it talks about the armor of salvation. So when you've got this armor on, what do you do with it? You put on all of these things. Well, why is He telling us to put things on if God has done everything for us? And yet the Spirit of God, through Paul, is telling us, put on this armor. And then in verse 18, keep alert with all perseverance. Keep alert. But again, we're not doing this to earn salvation. We're doing this from a position of being clothed in Christ. So how do we live out this resolution? If the resolution is to persevere because you are loved, how do we do that this week? How do we do it? 4 things. And it flows, again, from this heart of God. It flows from the reality of who you are in Christ. Right? This is what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. This, you know, isn't in my notes, so we're just going to flip here. I don't have it marked. Hold with me. Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace, whose grace? God's grace. You have been saved through faith. Your faith. Oh, that's something I did. No. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship. God in Christ has remade us, reformed us. In him, we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Oh, so we're created for something which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are created for these good works. How do we live it out? First, build. Do the work. Put your hands to the plow. This is the exact opposite of passivity. This is the exact opposite of God blessing you. And so you're like, well, I'm blessed, so I'm coasting. No, we're called to do the work. Put our hands to the plow. Anyone who sets his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of me, Jesus said. So you build, you do the work, knowing that even if you do fail, you don't have to throw a pity party. You can recognize that, wait, my identity is in Christ. My identity isn't in that. So pick yourself up, dust yourself off, try again. Build. Second, pray. Pray in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Praying by his power, by his leading, by his direction. You pray in accordance with his will. Remember, you're not this person over here anymore. Not in Christ. In Christ, you're transformed. So you pray out of this reality. You pray out of what he has done for you and wants to continue to do in you and through you with others. Pray for his will, not your own. Third, you keep yourself in the love of God. And again, this isn't because God is dangling you out here somewhere. It's a chore to stay in God, or you got to fight to do it because he keeps holding you at arm's length. Have you ever seen that in movies where someone's holding somebody's head back and they're swinging under the arms and they can't? That's not God's love for you, just so you know. He's not holding you at arm's length. He has drawn you in. And so keeping yourself in the love of God is simply walking with him, abiding in him. John chapter 15, also not in my notes, sorry, but you can write it down. John chapter 15, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So what is that nothing? Just so you know, that nothing that you can't do. You can't do that which pleases God or earns his favor. That's the nothing that he's talking about. But in Christ, in abiding, keeping yourself in that love of God, you live out of his love. And then waiting. What does that mean? What is he saying there? Waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Does that mean that he may not bring it? You're kind of hoping? Well, I don't really think he's going to come through on this problem promise that he has for me. I don't really think he's here with me in the midst of my problems. No, that's not the kind of waiting that's being talked about here. Waiting biblically is this picture of an expectant hope. There's excitement. You're waiting. You're looking forward to. You know it's in the future. It's not here right now. All things have not been made perfect right now. We're still in the midst of the struggle. But living out of the love that God has for us gives us hope. Kind of like in the middle of the year when you're looking forward to vacation. I'm not on vacation now, but later I am going to be. And so you plan, right? When you know what's coming, you plan and you live in expectation of that. And you're waiting for that time. The mercy of Christ is already on us. It's already there. And so we hope. We hope and we wait for it. So what is your resolution? What is your resolution this year? You know, it might be to eat better, to get more sleep, watch more sports, watch less sports. As far as your spiritual life goes, are you building? Are you thinking about where could my relationship with God be from where it is right now? Well, let this be my encouragement to you today. Persevere because you are loved. Don't persevere because that way God will love you. God will owe you a solid if you persevere. That's not what Scripture says. Persevere because you are loved. Persevere because your position in Christ is redeemed, holy, forgiven, beloved. We are beloved in Christ. And Christ has so much more in mind for you and for me than just okay. He has so much more in mind for us than just getting by. He has more in mind for us than the struggle and the striving and throwing fits and putting our heads down and refusing to see. I so badly want to just lay down and give y'all a picture, but I kind of feel like that might be like kind of a David thing, dancing before the Lord, and someone's going to be like, well, that's just ridiculous of a senior. But I don't want anyone to not be able to have children for the rest of their lives because they do something like that. So I'm not going to do that. Lift your head up. Don't throw a fit. In the midst of your wrestling with God, recognize that He's right there. Even if you're suffering so bad that in this moment, all you can do is just reach out a hand. Okay, He's there. I know He's there. Know that He is there. Know that He is there. You are not forgotten. You are not abandoned. You are not left alone. You are beloved. Let God's promised love for you soak today and this week in purpose. And as the worship team comes forward to lead us in a song of invitation, every week I stand there and wait, and I give the same call that Jesus gave. Go ahead and stand with us. He said, come to me. So I'm not calling you to come to me. But Christ said, come to me. He said, when I'm lifted up, when the Son of Man is lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. He's drawing you this morning. He's calling to you. And if you have not submitted to Him, I encourage you to do that this morning. If you just need prayer, man, it would be my honor to pray with you. and for you. If you would like to join with this fallen group of believers, come forward and let's talk about this. Or just sing or pray where you are and know that you are beloved.